Hello, and welcome to the Bardic Inspiration.
Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Gith.
What are the Gith? That is a good question. So the Gith are many of the ones that we talk about, yet another D&D race. This one is, as far as I know, original to D&D. They're not from outside of other sources. As far as about them, the Gith were once slaves to the Illithid, or the Mind Flayers, and their masters. They were once human, but were transformed through selective breeding, and eventually, over time, they developed a mental resistance to the Illithids, and eventually rebelled against their masters. They were under the leadership of, ironically named, Gith, and who was sort of a very, like, war-empowered, very, like, tactical-mind individual that helped them overcome their masters. However, she was not pleased with this. She felt that after they beat the Illithids, in order to keep her race safe, that they would go out and conquer other races in order to protect from their race ever being enslaved again. However, this wasn't shared by all the Gith in the group, one of the other ones being Xerthamon. He and his followers argued that the people were already free, and that continuing down this path of war would eventually corrupt their species as a whole, and as such spoke out against it. Because of this, there was a great war that ensued after what is known as the Pronouncements of the Two Skies, which we'll talk about later, and eventually the race was split into two, which became the Gith Yankee and the Gith Zerai. The Gith Yankee retreated to the Astral Plane, which is where they reside, where the Gith Zerai went to the Chaos Plane of Limbo. This war also allowed the Illithid to retreat, and because of this, the Gith Yankee hate the Gith Zerai for their betrayal of their species. So, Daniel, you want to go ahead and break down this Pronouncement of Two Skies? Because this is kind of a key thing.
The Pronouncement of the Two Skies was a sparked war between the two different Gith factions, both under Xerithmon and Gith herself. They argued basically about the correct path for people, whereas, as you said earlier, Gith wanted to conquer other races so that they wouldn't have that same issue. And then Xerithmon was like, no, we are already free. Let's work on healing our people as a whole. So basically, it came down to the belief that Gith basically announced that her belief of, or her path rather, would lead the Gith, or as to them known as the people, that they would be united under the same sky. And almost immediately after, Xerithmon responded, there cannot be two skies. And because of that announcement, it sparked a war.
Okay, so we discussed the fact that they were based in D&D, but where do their origins lie originally?
So initially, in his own Forgotten Realms campaign, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons campaign, Charles Stross introduced Gith as a race. It was kind of a... I don't have the exact details, but it was introduced within his campaign. He didn't realize it at first. It wasn't until 1983, a few years later after his campaign, that during one of his book signings, he was approached by a member of his audience that his Gith and a fictional race created by George R.R. Martin, the Soul Sucks, sounded very similar, and the story sounded pretty similar. And the novel we're discussing, The Dying of the Light, was a science fiction novel in 1977, which is very capable that Charles may have read it and, you know, used it in his campaign and didn't realize it. Now, the reason they were called Soul Sucks in the book was because of their dangerous psychic powers. But ironically, no actual Soul Sucks appeared in the book. It was always mentioned. It was always like, you know, this is, you know, we need to watch out for these. We need to do this and this. They were also mentioned in another book, but I didn't quite get it. Now, funny enough, it was more of a, in The Dying of the Light, it was a similar story that the Soul Sucks were under the service of a different race of masters. It wasn't until Larry Nevin's World of Pavis that the Gith and Illithid relationship was more inspired. It kind of gave, for D&D goers, the name of the master race. And the Illithid have always been kind of this alien race already. So then you have the alien take some humans, you know, selectively breed them, and now you have the Gith, who eventually, so on and so forth, and the story continues. But ever since that D&D campaign, the Gith have appeared in all editions of D&D since Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Which is, in my opinion, pretty cool. I mean, I would be a liar if I said I didn't get some of my inspiration from books or other media sources.
Are they trademarked as D&D? Like a Beholder or a...
Or an Illithid? Yeah. Very much so. You will not find this in any Pathfinder. I mean, and if you do, it'll definitely be under a different name, and they'll definitely have some different abilities.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they are, along with, as you said, the Beholders and the Illithid, they are very much trademarked. They're a iconic D&D race.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's break down what their appearance is. The Gith Yankee went off to the Astral Plane, and then the Gith Zari went off to the...
Gith Zerai
went off to Limbo. Like, they look different in appearance, so...
A little bit. I mean, they're still... All of the Gith were selectively bred, as said. They all appear very tall, very thin, kind of gaunt-like in appearance. Their skin is very hard, like leather almost. They've got sunken eyes, elongated faces, pointed ears, serrated ears. They typically have black hair or red hair. Kind of either a gray to yellowish cat-like eyes, very little facial or hair, period. I mean, it's just, as the race itself, if you were to look at one just at a distance, there's really almost no way to tell off the hand. I mean, maybe the Gith would understand and be like, I don't recognize him. He's got to be the Zerai. Mm-hmm. He's got to be the Yankee.
I also think in a lot of ways they kind of look... Part of the reason they look similar is effectively they are more or less the same race still.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the ways, and this is at least how I take it a lot in my own games where I've thought of using them, is they're more of different ideologies of how a Gith lives. We mentioned it a bit earlier, but like the Gith Yankee are much more war-driven. They're a bit more aggressive. Where the Gith Zerai are a lot more, like, calm. They're, I guess you could say, wiser. They like to take things in, sort of spend a lot of time in, like, meditation and, like, self-enlightenment. So they're a bit more philosophical in that sense.
Right.
So let's break down individually. Let's kind of go over the Gith Yankee and then kind of set that aside and go over the Gith Zerai and just kind of separate the two.
Okay.
And then we can... add in a little a bonus fact for you all afterwards. So let's start with the Gith Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
And in the language of Gith, their name literally means, the Gith Yankee means followers of Gith, the warrior queen who liberated the race. As we said, they're, you know, very humanoid in appearance, but they're tall, very gaunt. Very sunken eyes, so on and so forth. Now, with the Gith Yankee, because they're very martial and because of their ideals, they're more on the alignment scale evil.
Okay.
I mean, you'll probably rarely see a neutral one, but they're mostly just evil. Whether it's chaotic, lawful, neutral, they're generalized evil.
Okay.
A good Gith Yankee is, I mean, unheard of. It's never, I mean, not to say it can't happen, it's just unheard of.
Right. They're more neutral, if anything.
Yeah, exactly.
If anything, I'm sure we're probably going to talk about it later, but it's possibly a player character. It's a Gith. I'd imagine it's a possibility that a Gith could be good and join an adventuring party.
I have seen the DM's Guild has brought out like character builds, and I bought one recently that had Gith in it. So like there is a playable race Gith, and I don't know if they're discussing it for future things, but I'm sure that would be a great like playable race. Just either chaotic or...
Were they released at the same time as the Tortles?
Just a little bit before. Actually, I believe somewhere around that time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, funny thing, at least to me, is although they worship Gith and they actually have a forbiddance against religion and worship. I mean, they were basically taught, as when they were under the rulership of the Illithid, they were taught that they are their gods. The Illithid were the Gith's gods.
Hmm.
And so because of that and because of their like Gith's ideals, religion is straight out forbidden. Like you can idolize, you can, you know, hope that, you know, Gith will come back or so on and so forth, but essentially it's just forbidden. It's not even allowed. I mean, and to further emphasize this point of forbiddance of religion, they build their homes in the Astral Sea upon the stone-like corpses of gods. So when a god dies, typically they end up in the Astral Sea and develop a statue-like esque husk, and these Githyanki have built their homes, their fortresses, their cities on these husks.
It's a bit morbid.
Yeah. A funny thing that I've heard is that the Gith have a pact with Tiamat. Do you want to get into that?
No, I don't want to get into any pact with Tiamat. I don't know what you're talking about. No, yeah. So after the war between the two races, Gith was sent to Hell. And while she was there, she made a pact with Tiamat, which, for those of you that don't know, short version, dragon, queen, goddess of chromatic dragons. And Tiamat, as part of this pact, sent a general, whose name is Vlokith, to lead the Githyanki in their continuation to conquer all other races and planes. And so, they did a pretty good job of it, too. And essentially, what the Githyanki do is travel through the astral plane. In a lot of ways, kind of similar to pirates. And they'll go through and attack travelers and eventually go to other planes and attack them.
Yeah, well, you had mentioned that they're kind of pirates. I would imagine that would make them very martial, like very tactically hungry. And then there's also another reason on why they travel to other planes, is because in the Astral Sea, there's no time passing. So you don't age, you don't... If you're conceiving, for example, you're not going to progress in conception. So they would travel to, and commonly, the prime material plane so that they can raise more young. And so that's another reason on why they invade other... Besides their conquests, and because they're stuck in a time loop... Like Jack Harkness, they also would like to go, they'd like to raise more young, and so because of that they have to travel to other planes and where time passes at a different rate, or at a rate period. And funny little goose egg, they lay eggs. They don't give live birth, so it's also to kind of help. The theory is that because of the astral plane, they can't give live birth. So they birth eggs, and then they take those eggs and bring them to the prime material and then raise them. So it's really interesting.
So with them going in and out of the astral plane, does that make them actually live longer, in a sense?
Yes.
I mean, if you were to have a Gith outside the astral plane for a while, how long could he live compared to one that would be continuously using it?
It's hard to tell because of the astral plane.
And they also have that tie to the astral plane, don't they? The cord that holds them to it?
No.
No?
No. But funny thing, you should mention that, is anyone else who visits, mm-hmm. they have very nice swords that can sever said cord, killing the travelers instantly.
Oh, I see. So any other people that are out there.
Yeah. So they're native to the plane. Like, they literally live there. Like, there's a difference between astral projection and plane shifting.
I see.
Which is kind of an interesting point, because even after all these years, both sides of the Gith, they hunt Illithid to this day. And the reason this is mentioned is because the Illithid like to astral project into the plane for information or for travel. So they developed these swords, and it was under the Vaklith that this undead wizard, or caster rather, that these swords were given to, like, the top Gith, Yankee, and that they go and fight. Also, with that Pact of Tiamat, they also have a agreement with red dragons, and which, so they often will use those as mounts. So particularly,
that's really cool.
So yeah, so you've got someone who can slay you instantly if you're visiting the right. astral projection, who's riding on the back of a red dragon of various sizes. It sounds like a bad day.
Alright, so let's switch over. So we have the Githzari. Oh!
I actually wanted to mention one more thing, that the Githyanki, because of their martial ways, they've kind of... their mental resistance still exists, but they haven't... That's it. It's pretty much just a resistance. They don't have any telekinetic powers anymore.
Right, which...
Since from the war.
That kind of goes into the Githzari.
Yeah.
Githzari,
and they prefer the magic over... the psionics. And yes, this goes into the Githzari because they're the almost polar opposite. They prefer to.
As the Githyanki worship Gith, as we mentioned before, the Githzari.
Zerai.
Zerai, thank you.
Githzari.
Worship Zerothmon.
Those Zerai. Who spurn Gith. Yeah, because with the Zerai, they see Zerothmon as the prophet of their race and of the people. So it's kind of makes sense that their name would mean we don't like Gith.
Now, are they also evil? Do they take on evil bent as the Githyanki do? Or?
No, they're not. So the Githzari, they are usually more neutral in alignment. So there's more of a likely chance that you'll find a Githzari that is good. But typically they tend to be more like the neutral spectrum. So like lawful neutral, chaotic neutral, or just pure neutral.
Okay.
Their society is commonly very monastic. So they keep very much to themselves. And they spend a lot of time in sort of self-reflection and are very introspective. However, they are ironically rarely religious. They do honor and revere their ancestors. However, they do not worship them. So it's kind of like looking at people as like role models, almost like thinking of the past.
Mm-hmm.
However, they don't actually worship them. However, they, unlike the Githyanki, do allow religion as part of their culture. Mm-hmm. But they see religion as a personal choice. So they don't like force any beliefs on anyone in their society. It's very much just about you. Basically, you do you. You think about what you would like to be. And then you work to that. They, kind of sticking with the same theme, also have a martial combat style where they prefer monk-like traditions. So they very much fight unarmed, just using their bodies, and mechanically have a lot of monk-like abilities in addition to their psionic powers.
Right.
They are also magically resistant. However, some of them do choose to... not utilize that magical resistance and instead use it to actually practice spellcasting.
And I believe that when they do that, when they give up their resistance to become casters, they become, I believe it may be Zerth after Zerithamon. They're called Zerths. But basically they're martial combat magical wielders. Like, they weave both their psionics, their martial prowess, as well as some magical capabilities to plane shift or to assist them in battle. More, and it's not really like a evocation kind of assist. It's more like, I'm going to disrupt you and then physically beat you up.
Right.
And funny thing with this is the Zerst, because they are seen kind of a higher up. They're typically become like religious-like leaders of these people. And Zerst also see, like, they have this minute belief that Zerithimon will return one day from his, you know, from his ancestry. He'll return one day and lead his people to salvation. We mentioned this earlier. They live in Limbo, yeah. Which is, I would say, borderline on chaos, the elemental chaos. They're just pure chaos planes.
So how do they survive? Like, where on Limbo do they live?
So the Gizrai, they use their mental powers, or their psionic ability, to actually create islands on the plane. So they're actually able to more or less form their own locations to live. And while they're there, they hunt the creatures that do exist in Limbo for food. However, they are also agriculturally inclined. They also grow crops for themselves. So,
The crops are thin, although very hardy. Like, they aren't able to grow a lot because it is a chaos plane.
And in addition to this, while they're in Limbo, they also have another race that they sort of have a bit of rivalry with, but they sort of work together to coexist, known as the Slod, which we will talk about at another point. They don't really get along per se, however, when there are common threats to their races, they do actually cooperate and work together. That being said, despite sort of their nature, the Githzerai are also very distrustful to other races. I almost feel that they sort of, like, when they meet a new race or a new species or a group of travelers, they tend to sort of size them up or get, like, insight to how they think and then make their decisions based on that. So they're not willingly to just give their trust away, right? Away meeting new strangers.
That's good. Now, with them being in Limbo, time does pass normally, but it's not quite the same. So it's estimated that the Zerai live about twice as long as a human. So if your human goes from 100 years, then they would say estimate about 2, so on and so forth. But funny thing is, because they're so isolated and because they're so, like, to themselves, there's no real notion on whether or not they have live births, like humans, or eggs, like their cousins, the Githyanki. It's interesting to think of, like, because the Githyanki live in the astral plane, okay, well, they've evolved to have eggs to protect their young until it can arrive in a plane in which it can grow normally, versus the Githzerai, where they live in a normal environment, or rather, a normal environment as far as time is concerned. And so it's kind of interesting that, they could have live births. They didn't need that ability to give birth to eggs to try and protect the young, because time passes. They don't need that time between birth and race.
I'd imagine, since they're fairly close related to each other, I don't see why the Githzerai wouldn't have eggs.
It's always up to the DM as well.
That's true. Everything's up to the DM.
Yeah. Speaking of DMs, like, has anyone used them in their campaigns, or as a player, have they come across one?
I personally have not used one yet.
Okay.
It is in the works, but I don't want to spill, because it's...
Spoilers.
Yeah, it's spoilers of my current campaign. All I have to do is say is that someone is hunting.
That'd be kind of interesting. It's like a hunting Githyanki out in the astral sea, some sort.
Kind of. So for mine, it's something's going on in the prime material, in which is requiring one of the Gith races to come to the prime material.
Well, no, I'm more like thinking, like, is there more than just the Githyanki that live in the astral plane?
Not really, because the astral plane and the ethereal are kind of gateway planes.
It's true.
Typically, the astral plane is used for, like, travel.
Yeah.
So unlike Daniel in his secrets, I I have at least some ideas. I haven't brought them fully to fruition, but I want to set up an order of Gith in some way or shape or form who go hunting. Like it's a ritual to go hunting for Illithids in the Underdark, or something along those lines. Like they have a tribe, and like when they come of age, they have to go down into the Underdark, collect a head or something along those lines, and then come return, and they are now an adult.
Did you watch Alien versus Predator
lately? Yeah, right, exactly.
That was actually pretty funny you mentioned that. It's because as far as the actually both of them, they do that. They mm-hmm. do have hunting parties. They do hunt right. the Illithid. And typically it's they don't come back until each member has collected a kill of an Illithid. Mm-hmm. So, and it'll obviously differ. Whereas like the Githzerai will probably work together to make sure each member has a kill. Whereas the Githyanki would be like, no, I'm going to claim the most kills.
Right.
So, but it's very much, it's kind of interesting. Power struggle. Yeah, exactly. It's interesting you mention that because that's exactly what happens. At least as far as the stories go. There was one story that I read, was a sort of a separate branch. And this is kind of that hint I was going at earlier is, they are called the Githviric, or the Githviric, sorry. Mm-hmm. And initially it was created by a Forgotten Realm author, Paul S. Kemp. And he kind of created them as like an offshoot. It was actually one particular individual. And because, I mean, when the war happened and the races split, there was another set of individuals who didn't believe in either path and decided to each go their own unique ways. They vastly number fewer than the Githyanki or the Githzerai, but they are kind of that lonely traveler. Like they don't associate with anyone. They kind of,
they're hermits.
Yeah,
pilgrims.
Is a good one too, because they travel throughout both the worlds and the planes, and just kind of residing in their isolation. With that said, they are often found very old, very very powerful casters, which is kind of a very interesting thing. You come across the Underdark, and you come across this yellow humanoid wearing weird looking rags. He's got a gaunt face and looks, and he's speaking to you, you don't understand, and then all of a sudden you're just in combat with a ninth level sorcerer,
right?
The like, it can happen. I mean, maybe it didn't happen.
Quick question, I'm curious, do the Gith as a whole have natural spellcasting abilities, or especially to travel to different planes, or do they do that naturally?
It's more of their psionic abilities. So more the Githyanki use spellcasting to travel the different planes, whereas the Githzerai have honed their mental, their psionic capabilities to travel. So yes and no.
Cool. I also, going off of that, one that comes to the material plane is trapped there because he's lost those abilities. Like, he wants to get back to the astral plane, or he wants to get back to Limbo or something along those lines, and he's seeking out help to do so. Like
a bad case of amnesia?
Not amnesia. Or like he knows it. He knows that exists. He's just lost the ability to get there.
A falter in faith, maybe.
They don't have faith, though.
I would want to say like his magic would have been taken away, so right. Whatever something, ability, just
like, he, like their magic taken away. Yeah, I was thinking like plane. their psionics were like they have a block or something, like they got a little too hard in the head, or they have inner turmoil within their own person, which actually kind of makes a good idea for a Gith player character too.
Right.
It's so like, oh, I'm stranded from the rest of my race, now I have to travel with these adventures while I try and rehone my ability to travel home.
Right. Perhaps even he got taken by an evil wizard, was lobotomized while he was being studied, and because he got lobotomized, lost his psionic abilities.
Interesting.
Psionically lobotomized. That sounds horrible.
Which, by the way, for the record, in case anyone's confused every time we say psionics, mechanically, psionics are a type of innate spellcasting. So, it's typically mainly with Gith, but then it's with other races as well. And it basically allows them to cast various spells at will with no need for components or having like a focus or anything. It's just something that they can naturally do. But it is not technically magic.
Is it mental?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mind powers.
It quite honestly because is just basically mental powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where the idea is that they got these powers from both resisting and from the long-term control from the Illithid. There is an idea that would be kind of good for it's a common use for the Gith Yankee, which is a raiding party comes in from the Astral Sea looking for a new home to start up a hatchery, essentially. So they come to the Prime Material Plane, or where they appear, oh, there's a big ass city. Well, we don't want them coming and discovering our home, our little hatchery here, so we're going to go conquer them first and then set up our hatchery.
Right.
Which, and all just invites more adventurers to discover the hatchery.
Go seek it out, yeah.
Oh, a big town was just assaulted? Let's go find out why.
Alright, I think we've covered what we wanted to. Thank you for listening, and until next time. Thank you for staying at the Bardic Inn. If you would like to hear more, we will be uploading new content Thursdays at noon PST on
iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, CastBox, and Podbean.
If you have any recommendations on future content, you can leave a comment on these various platforms, or you can contact us on Twitter at The Bardic Inn, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Bardic Inn.
We're your local bards,
Daniel,
Andrew,
Dad,
and Jake.
Be inspired.